Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
This is a special Sunday recognizing scholars and educators. I wanted to wear my doctor robe on this morning, amen. And just to impress upon you the importance and the seriousness of what we're doing. We take serving God seriously. We invest and we pray and we labor. And because what we feel that strong about Jesus, about the work that we're doing, about the opportunity we have been given. And we're excited about young people like Galen Owens, amen, the younger. Glory to God, amen. And we had a little ad hoc celebration a couple weeks ago. I wanted to make it serious today and dedicate this to him and to our educators, because everybody goes through a teacher. Everybody goes through a teacher, several teachers. Everyone gets an education. Bad one or a good one, but everybody gets an education. Everybody gets an education. And I wanted today to inspire us all with a message today from the series, A Place Called Forward. Our subtitle is Commence and Invoke. Say commence and invoke. I want you to maybe send the link out, New Covenant website, newcovenant.org. Send that to people who need to hear an encouraging word about graduation and commencements and going forward, new beginnings. We want to get this word out. Now, you know, it's going out live, but also it'll be on demand as well later on the podcast. But it's important that we encourage young people, all people, who are commencing in any kind of way. And you'll learn here today that commencement isn't only the ceremony. There's a mindset I want to talk about today, a mindset of commencement that is a part of graduation, but not limited to the day of graduation. So we're going to go to our text today. I'm going to not review today, but go direct to Jeremiah 29. And here is our first text, Jeremiah 29. The Lord said, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Say, God, thank you. You have a plan for me. You know what the plan is. Lord, help me understand your plan. Because it seems to me if God says he has a plan for me, my response should be, Lord, what is the plan? And the answer is, he's been telling you the plan your whole life. Your whole life, especially in Christ, he's been teaching you his plan. His plan is not one thing. Your whole life is his plan. And he says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And that's true for you every day of your life. As long as you're living, there's a plan for you. And God's plan is not one thing. Again, it is your whole life. Let God have his way. I'm encouraging us today and our graduates today to recognize those who follow Christ and love Jesus especially, that God has a plan for you in your education process, your graduations, your next steps are all a part of God's plan. See, when you come to Christ, he takes possession of all of us, all of you, every part of you, every dimension of your life. He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So our part in Christ is not just coming to church, hearing the word, doing some outreach. No, your career, your job, your family, your finance, your possessions, your children, it's all a part of the plan of God. You believe that? Amen. Now, this is the season for graduation and commencement, May, June, especially May. It's the season for graduation and commencement. And God has a lot to say about beginnings, new beginnings, dedications, commitments, commencements, and invocations. Now, this word invocation, We think of it only in the sense of what happens during a ceremony. But during research about the history of graduations and commencement, I found out that graduation, commencement, convocation, commencement, invocations, convocations were all thought to be the same thing, especially in Europe. So that some call it commencement, some call it convocation, some call it invocation. So different terms were used to describe what we call commonly as commencement. And it's good for us to think about that word invocation, because we know of invocation as a prayer, as praise to God. And invocation has always been a part of almost all commencement ceremonies have an invocation. It's a prayer at the beginning or at the end. But I want us to see that the whole commencement is an invocation. Say the whole commencement is an invocation. Because we're invoking the presence of God. You want God not at the beginning of the program, right, or end. You want God when you walk out the building. You want God the morning of. You want God the day after. So invocation is part and parcel of the beginning of the commencement. And let me say this, that graduation and commencements are the beginning of a new era or a new season in life for young people, for students. I mean, you're old and young. And because that is so important to grasp, I want you to get in your mind to not just think about the ceremony. You know, I counsel young people before they get married, and people think about the wedding plans, the wedding day. Yeah, but think about the marriage too. Because folk plan the wedding and don't plan the marriage. The wedding happens like in 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Then you're stuck with a marriage you haven't planned for. So with commencement isn't just the day you graduate. It's the whole mindset of going to a different level, of going to a new trajectory, about accepting the new season. Say new season.
New season.
That God is bringing in your life through education process. Now, also, let me say this about going back to our previous series on Imago Dei. I want to also say that commencement is connected to Imago Dei, which means the image of God within you. Only people who are made in the image of God have the power to commence, to begin, or invoke. Right? No other creatures, animals. Only people decide to do something with their lives. Amen. Only people decide to commence, to begin, to invoke. And so that commencement then is a part of our image of God in us, that creative aspect, that desire to go forward. That's a unique human experience that we receive by being made in God's image and likeness. Think about that. Keep that in mind. All right. Psalm 67. Invocation. Here's an invocation in a doxology. A doxology is an expression of praise or prayer to God. David said this, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Selah. That's an invocation, a doxology, where David is using his position, his grace, his authority to bless, to pray, to invoke the presence of God. That's something we can do. Your prayer time every day is an invocation. Invocation isn't just a part of the ceremony. Invocation is the asking and requesting God's presence in your life every day, all day, all the time. Receive that?
Yeah.
Now, we have invocation in our programs. I know that. But I'm lifting it up today to help us see that, we tend to make things into religious things and moment in time things, but some things are meant to be received, understood for your whole life, not just part of a program. So say invocation is a part of my whole life. Let's go on here. Verse 5, same Psalm 67. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. This is powerful. Invocation has the power to change circumstances, to change people. He says, let the people praise you, O God. Then the earth will yield her increase. The idea being that until we invoke the presence of God, some things don't change. Now, God does some things all by himself. He's sovereign. But some things don't change until we do something about it. Yes. Until we make a decision to pray, to grow, to be educated, to recognize commencements in people's lives. Because this is what's the cause and the force behind increase. Increase doesn't come from nowhere. Increase comes from somewhere. Increase comes from God. Increase comes from comes through people who pray for it, who request it, who speak it, who demand it, who expect it. Increase. Say increase. Then David said, our God, our own God. I like that. Be clear. Which God? Our God. Our own God shall bless us. God shall bless us. He's been wishing and hoping. He said, God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. When people see what God is doing through his people, they pay attention. They sit up, take notice, like, oh, goodness, this didn't know that they had that in them. Well, because God's in me. A lot of things we don't see in people. But then when people walk in the presence of God, we see things. The ends of the earth can see. Now, why is graduation called commencement? Let's go back to this again. Why is graduation called commencement? The word reflects the meaning of an ancient Latin term, inceptio, which means a beginning. Sounds like inception, doesn't it? But inceptio. And so understand that our traditions of education, academics, and graduations, commencements, came out of Europe, mainly. It is a European thing. And it's a good thing. I mean, the Western world has its way of doing things. Eastern world is a little different. They've adopted a lot of our ways in Africa so that, you know, the whole world isn't doing what we do the way we do it. But we accept that we're Americans, African Americans. We are raised in a certain culture. We have accepted and embraced the culture that we live in. That's fine. But the name was given, in fact, the original purpose was initiation ceremony for scholars in medieval Europe. The original college degree certified that the bearer could instruct others in a given academic discipline. So essentially, the education system and commencement came out of training teachers. Yeah, the original purpose of the whole process was to train people to teach people. So education was the original foundation of what we think of today as education, academics, commencements, and all the rest. Listen to this, though. As part of the graduation ritual, which usually included a feast given by the graduate, which today they too broke to do anything else but say thank you. But given by the graduate as a thank you to his professors and friends, the newly minted scholar delivered his first lecture as a legitimate teacher. So the graduate commenced and went straight into giving his or her first lecture. So commencement means commencing to teach. That's how it began. Now it's expanded, of course, in every area of discipline, but understand how important educators are and always have been. The whole foundation, the whole system is based on preparing educators to educate. It's good, isn't it? Now, the closest word to commencement in the Bible is the word beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, there's two words we'll see for beginning in the Bible. One word is not like commencement. One word is. This word, use of the word beginning, is not like commencement as we use it today. But obviously, for God, I mean, in terms of creation, it was a commencement. Creation itself is a commencement, but the word itself is not what I'm after right now. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. Now, the Hebrew word there is resheth, and the word means this. It means the first in time, order, or rank. So in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. So the point is, whenever you see a beginning in the Bible in this way, it's just saying it's the first in time, the first in rank, or the first in order. And that's not the way we use the word commencement today. But the second use of the word we see in Genesis 13. Here in 13th chapter of Genesis, verse 1 says, "Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that were he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver and gold, and he went on his journey to the south, from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." Now this Hebrew word, tekelah, is the sense, it's in the sense of opening. It means a commencement. It's a beginning. So this is a word, this beginning, Hebrew word beginning, is closest to our use of the modern day term commencement. Matter of fact, one Bible version called the Young's Little Translation, next slide, says this. Reads this way. "He goeth and he goeth on his journeys from the south, even unto Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the commencement between Bethel and Ai." You follow that? So while the first reference talked about the first in order or rank as beginning, this word is closer to what we think about as the sense of an opening. It's an opening. It's a commencement, a beginning the first time. You follow that? So that's a good term to think about. It's a good way to think about commencement and to get your mind around the fact that the commencement is more than the ceremony. Say that. The commencement is more than the ceremony. It's the end of one process, and we're commencing on another road. So the term commencement is the perfect word, the perfect term, commencement. And I want you to think about commencement at different levels, because we have all commenced in different ways. And some examples that come to my mind, I think about, in addition to our graduations, there's marriage, right? There's sometime promotion to a whole new level in your employment. There's military service. There's different types of special. There are certain events in life that for you are a commencement, calling to ministry and so forth. There are many ways to think about this today. I want you to appreciate, I'm not talking only about college graduates. I mean, I am primarily, but I want us to really consider that commencement is part of our imago Dei, our image of God, and that God wants you to focus on what he's doing in your life. He says, "The plans I have for you, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans." And so when God unveils a different facet of his plan, that's a commencement for you. That's a commencement for you. And it's happened to us. All of us have experienced that. Maybe we didn't appreciate it at the time, but appreciate these commitments. Now, commencements. Let's look at some, here's a photograph of an ancient graduation. They got their robe on, they got their caps on, And so it's an ancient tradition from Europe. Oxford, England is kind of our model today for this process. So education is the occasion, of course, when degrees are conferred by colleges and universities upon students and others. And the graduation itself is sometimes called, again, commencement, convocation, invocation. All terms have been used in history to describe what we call today as commencement. But anything that has a beginning, that's a commencing, hence the commencement. That's why the graduation ceremony is so important. And the ceremony is important, but we know from last year especially that a lot of young folk missed ceremonies. They missed full ceremonies, right? I missed the ceremony. I finished last July. They canceled ours for this year. What canceled last year is canceled this year. But the thing is, that's why we thank God commencement is not limited to the ceremony. That's the point. Commencement is not limited to the ceremony. If it was, there's no commencing. So commencement then is the reality. You have completed a process and you have met requirements. And that's why I want us to be encouraged. And this COVID season has taught us so much about how God is bigger than the circumstances. He's bigger than the ceremonies. So now, the ceremony is important, and thank God we're having them now, they're going back to having those, thank God for that, that's good. But I want young folks to understand, all people to understand, that if you don't have a ceremony, you've still commenced. My wife finished her master's degree years ago, and in fact, bless her heart, we have four children, you know this. We have Michael and Michelle, Jonathan and Christine. And there's a gap between Michelle and Jonathan. That's the master's gap. That's the master's degree gap, okay? And she was working so hard and full-time educator, raising two children, dealing with me, that's add that to the mix, and everything else. And listen, she was so not, I don't say tired, but so just, well, she was, I can't say tired, I can't describe her feeling, but she got it done. But she did not want to do the commencement ceremony. Just send me mine. I earned it. I earned it. Now, so point is, everybody doesn't have a ceremony. It is a good thing to have. Young folks should have ceremonies. The first degree, the bachelor's degree should be a ceremony somehow, some way, okay? Everybody should have a ceremony. But the point is, when you have a commencement, the ceremony is nice. If I don't get one, you know what? I know what I did. I've been recognized for what's been done. I've earned the degree, and the work shows it. So understand that commencement happens with or without a ceremony. And the same for you. Sometimes people don't recognize what you're doing. Well, God sees you. Say, God sees me. But in your heart, you should have that connection with God that says, Lord, thank you. I am who you said I am. I have what you said I have. I can do what you said I can do. Amen. That's the confidence to have at every level. All right. So again, reading here, the baccalaureate ceremony originated in 1432. At Oxford University, that's England, where the bachelor was required to deliver a sermon in Latin as part of the academic exercise. Okay, so they spoke English, but you commence and you come up here and give us a sermon in Latin, because many academic traditions were based in theological training. Harvard was a theological school in the beginning. And so this is where education has always had this connection with the image of God, Imago Dei. Let me say this. Now, as for Christ followers, invocation is also important as it recognizes the hand of God on your commencement, your beginning. We think of invocation as only prayer offered during the ceremony. It is better to think of the entire ceremony as an invocation, since we look to God for blessing and guidance. Very important concept. And sometimes we're so relieved to get through something, we don't appreciate what we've been through. I'm saying just slow down and just thank God he brought you through. Yes. Praise him that you've not just survived, but thrived in it. Yes. Let me show this now. I'm going to find the last slide, Jonathan. The last slide. I'm going to show this now. I'll come back up. I want to put this out now and just encourage everyone, all the graduates, college and high school. All right. Congratulations. Your college degree is evidence of knowledge, personal organization for learning. No one forced you to do anything, as well as a commitment to inquiry, excellence, and lifelong learning. Your degree is neither a shortcut in life nor an emblem of privilege. You still have to become skillful in your field and earn the professional respect of people who know and do more than you. Right? Now, think about college. There's all the learning going on. That's important. But really what's as important is organizing yourself to learn. Organizing yourself to take the classes, get the classes scheduled, go to the classes. And that's the part no one forces a student to do in college. Now, the message goes on that I said now to high school students. I say it here, not on the screen, but it says, good job, I say, but they made you do it. You just finished learning how to learn. My dad taught me that. You know, you learning how, high school, learn how to learn. It says, don't settle, go forward. So we're happy, you know, high school kids are happy, they celebrate, run around, but it's don't settle. And they made you do it. But at college, you know, they don't make you do anything in college. Now let's talk about this, because education, since it has come to us from Europe, there's some things to guard against. So we should not think of education solely as academic versus non-academic. Let me say it again. We should not think of education solely as academic versus non-academic. Now, we know about vocational training and so forth, and yet I think now this is where we have to be careful about European Western culture, which is steeped in classism. Right? And caste, class and caste. Caste is C-A-S-T-E. Caste is your station in life based on where you were born, who you're born to. And in Europe, education wasn't offered to all classes. Right? Early America, same thing. Obviously, you know, going back to, you know, our country's founding, Black folk weren't even allowed to go any kind of school, much less college. So we understand that we value education, but we're not blind to the problems that have arisen and still are present, where we have these two-track systems, and we put these kids on this track for vocational training, these kids on different track for, you know, academic. So listen, y'all, education should not be seen as academic or non-academic, that wherever God's grace leads you, that's important for you. And we do recognize the differences in people's abilities. Obviously, we recognize those differences and we train them, train according to what their skill sets are. But listen, in our culture as believers in Christ, in African-American culture, we don't look down on anybody. There are no, you know, big eyes, little U's. We don't do that around here. So regardless of your training, whether it's vocational, whether it's traditional university, we value you. We celebrate you. Amen? Amen? We celebrate you because we've all had experience of being among college-educated people who knew less. Than you. You know what I'm saying? So the degree is evidence of a commitment. And you did gain knowledge, but you must apply. See, listen, here's the point. The thing about commencement is, if when you have commencement ceremony and you graduate and you're commencing, if you go back to your former way of living, you've missed the point. The point of commencement is go forward. Now, listen, obviously, you got to do some of the same things that you had to do before, to work, go back to your old job, have some money. But your mindset should be, I'm not going back to what I was before I began this process. Now, that's harder and harder for kids now because opportunities are so difficult. But I encourage graduates to think a different way, except you have commenced. Say, I have commenced. And now your life is on a different level. Live like it. Yeah. Amen. Even when you can't make it look like you are where you are, yeah, at least have the right mindset. Yeah, that's right. Amen. It may require changing some of the people you hang with. Yeah. Put down some of that lightweight reading, you know what I'm saying? And pick up something worth reading. And there's a lot of things to go. So joining organizations. You know, I encouraged my children. They're all professionals now, and Michael engineering degree. Go join the engineering society, whatever they call it. Join that. Go to the meeting. Hang around. Now, he didn't get into engineering right away. He worked a different job, but he kept his mind and kept his mindset on engineering. And now he leads engineers. It's important when you commence as a graduate, change your life. You change your life. Just like in school, no one made you do anything. Now that you finish school, no one makes you do anything. We encourage you. We're watching to see what you're going to do. But you have to have the initiative and imago Dei in you, and the training should have trained you to think differently and to expect more from yourself. And then those who love you will expect more from you. Now, I'm speaking to graduates and anybody else who's commencing in any area of life, including us, some of us old folk. When God does something new with you, same thing. Take that mindset. Now, education levels. Let's talk about this. This is Western society, all right? All right, high school diploma. Well, people with diplomas commence as committed learners, having learned how to learn. Associate's degrees, bachelor's degree, of course, bachelor's higher than associates, but they commence as skilled practitioners in their area of study. Master degree commence with specialized knowledge to advance in your field. Different levels, okay? And the instruction, it gets, you know, more and more intense at every level. Then we come to the doctor level. And there are two main types of doctorates. There's research and professional doctorates. Research doctorates are like PhD, Doctor of Philosophy, EDD, Doctor of Education, THD, Doctor of Theology. I should have said also had MD, medical doctor, in here as well. Now, research doctorates are called terminal degrees. You can't go any farther than that. It's terminal, that's it. No higher than that. Dr. Kelly's PhD. Okay. Then research doctorates commence as doing original and applied research that tests theory and adds to the existing body of knowledge in their particular field or discipline. They literally add knowledge to the world. PhDs, EDDs. Now, it was sad that someone tried to say that the First Lady, Jill Biden, should not be called doctor because she had EDD, okay, a doctor of education. And no. Research degree, people with research doctorate, we call them doctor every day, all day long. We do that, okay? Now, there are also professional doctorates, which is what I have. For example, Doctor of Business Administration, DBA. Doctor of Public Health, DRPH. Doctor of Nursing Practice, DNP. Health Administration, DHA. Social Work, DSW. And Doctor of Ministry, DMIN. That's what I have. Now, a professional doctorate, you commence with exceptional competency and knowledge as a practitioner in your field, focused primarily on applying existing theories and knowledge to solving real-world problems. And we don't call professional doctors every day, all day long. Now, some insist on being called doctor, and it's a gray area, but I believe, call folk what you want to call them. How about that? But I don't believe that professional doctors should demand to be called doctor. But certainly it's appropriate to do so. Amen? You follow me? Because the research doctorate is a whole other level. It is the terminal. Now let me say a bit about my process. Because see, everybody's education journey is unique. Please hear that. We don't do this to be seen, heard, recognized. We do it for God and for ourselves. And so I attended a Bible college, and Doctor of Ministry is a professional degree from a Bible college that sometimes you do have academic institutions that do Doctor of Ministry with dissertations and all the rest. But normally, professional doctors don't require dissertations, but there is a major project. Now, my project resulted in a book I wrote entitled Biblical and Social Justice, What Is It? That was my project. Dissertation, pieces of that, but not the whole gamut. So that's why, see, in this whole education field, a lot of classism going on. A lot of people don't recognize this one. You went to that school. I don't like that school. It's all about what did God tell you to do? And above all, show me your work. What have you done? Like Jesus said, look at my works. So if you don't like the school, the title, the role, look at those 12 books I've written, 1,000 blog articles, hundreds of whatever. I mean, we've done stuff. So you don't have to justify yourself to people. You do what God tells you to do. But we should respect people who put work in and recognize our traditions. That's why I believe we should reserve the title doctor to research doctorates primarily. Amen? All right, so I'm still Pastor Hutz. I'm still, call me Brian. What do I call you? Call me Brian. Call me in time for dinner. Amen? Call me doctor if you want to. Won't offend me. Because some folk will respect you no matter what you do. So, you know, hey, getting a degree won't make folk respect you. They don't like you in the first place. You can't make people like you. You don't like you. They just don't worry about them people. Amen. Put the work in. Say, put the work in. So doctors from Bible schools are viewed somewhat differently. Because obviously, if someone doesn't believe in God, anything about God is worthless. So that's why I advise young people, if you're going to work in a field that works in secular society, you should go for academic degree, doctorate, PhD, so forth, because ministry degrees are for ministry. And if folk don't like Jesus, they won't like your ministry degree. So I didn't do this to be accepted in the academy. I'm not in the academy. I'm in the field. I'm out here in the field. I'm out here. I'm a pastor with a doctorate in ministry. And we so understand, young people, and those that are here, those that are watching, parents, guide your young people according to the grace of God in them. Help them recognize their gifts and to function and be trained in the area where their grace is strongest. Now, what I find is this. My undergrad degree is in media arts and science. I have an education master's from IU. So I do have secular credentials. And I have a doctor of ministry. Well, that reflects my passions, media, education, ministry. I just receive the training to the grace of God in me. See, your path is individual. You don't do it to impress people. You do it to satisfy the will of God. Amen, somebody? Talk about Bezalel. Look at Exodus 35. Education in the Bible. Now, the Bible doesn't talk much about education as we think of it today. But this is a beautiful text here. Exodus 35, verse 30 says, "And Moses said to the children of Israel, 'See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to all work in all manner of artistic workmanship.'" Verse 34. "And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him, in Eliab, the son of Ashimach, of the tribe of Dan. And he has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver, of the designer, the tapestry maker in blue and purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works." Now, that's as close as we see in the Bible, Old Testament, to education. Now listen, Bezalel wasn't just talented. That's one of the things, don't tell an artist that they're just, "You got talent." Don't do that. Don't diminish them. What they got is skill. Everybody who's good at something has skill. Talent is overrated, I tell you often, and working at the craft is underrated. So when a person is good at something, really good at it, they've put thousands of hours in to be good. Talent was the spark, but skill made it happen. Same goes for educators. My wife says, "She's so talented." She's skilled. Say skilled. So the word skill comes in here. See, so Bezalel had skill, and it was God-given, absolutely, but he worked at it. We all know people who had all kind of talent, all kind of potential. Yeah. What are they at now? What are they doing now? Nothing. If talent would carry you through, then you'd have it. But we know that talent must be developed through teaching, through education, through training to become skillful. So Bezalel is a good example of someone who both had the skill sets and who taught others. And God used them to build the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a big undertaking. It was a lot to do to make it portable and everything. It took some engineering knowledge, some mathematical knowledge. It took a lot to make that thing useful day by day by day. And that's a good model to think about, that God raises up people, raises us up, and gives us wisdom and insight and motivation to be trained, and then ultimately to mentor or teach somebody else. Not just to have it, but to teach it. That's good, isn't it? All right, let me finish up here. 5 points. 5 points I'm going to say to graduates, to Galen, and those who will watch this, who are watching live or may watch later. 5 points I want to share with you to encourage you closing out this teaching today. I'm going to call this commence and invoke. Say commence and invoke. Point one is stand in your space. Earn and demand respect. Say stand in my space. Say it, stand in my space. Earn and demand respect. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, Paul told Timothy, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young." Don't let them look down on you, is what he said. "But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." So stand in your space. I'm not saying being arrogant. I'm saying be confident. Earn and demand respect. So, you know, I did sometimes people, You've finished something and degree, and let's say a young person like Galen, and he's finished and hang around some folk, and folks say something like, "Oh man, that's just a piece of paper." No, it's not a piece of paper. It's evidence of excellence, of finishing what I started.
Amen.
So stand in your space. Guard against arrogance, but do be confident, and teach people how to treat you. Second, commit yourself to God. Say, commit myself to God. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. That's good. Number three, trust the Lord more than your own understanding. Honor the Lord. Say that. Trust the Lord more than my own understanding. Honor the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Then he says this, honor the Lord with your wealth. See, when you begin succeeding and earning and getting money and stuff, honor God with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So be a giver. We've had young people, some still do it, tithe, still tithe back to church until they find new churches. Keep tithing. Because they know that tithing and giving and loving, honoring God got me this far. And so it's important, young people, to lay a good foundation. But first of all, trust God with all your heart. Don't lean on what you think. Of course, you have knowledge. But understanding, you know, it has to come to you, sometimes daily. So understanding and knowledge. And it says, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. All right, number four. Work for God, not only for people. Say that. Work for God, not only for people. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. That's a key perspective when you're discouraged, you don't like the job you're in, or it's difficult phase in that job. But you're doing it for the Lord. Your fundamental commitment is to Christ. And he gave you strength to work, strength to learn, strength to know, to apply knowledge. And so I'm doing this for the Lord. Now, it benefits people. I get paid for it, but it's for God. That's the proper perspective. Number five, finally, you were built for purpose. Say, I was built for purpose. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I am built for purpose. So no matter what comes, how you feel a certain day, and some days are difficult, but you're built for purpose. You're built for this. Say, I'm built for this. Whatever comes, difficult or not, you're built for it. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for encouraging us today.